You're listening to The Real Girl Podcast. Find us on styledtosparkle.com and on iTunes. Subscribe today and have the latest episodes delivered to your favorite listening device. Hey there. On today's episode of The Real Girl Podcast, I'm going to be sharing with you what I learned from my own destination wedding. So I'm hoping that this episode will provide insight not only for your own destination wedding, but how to be a gracious guest at one that you're attending as well. Now, this coming November marks my 10-year wedding anniversary, and I can hardly believe it. In that time, we've been asked so much about our wedding, and I thought that you might find it useful too. So 10 years ago, my husband and I were married at the Rio Vallarta All-Inclusive Resort in Nuevo Vallarta, Mexico. Now, this was a bit tricky, as neither of us nor any of our immediate family had ever been on an all-inclusive vacation before. So we were fortunate enough to have friends who had done the all-inclusive thing a number of times, including a friend whose brother had been married at the resort next door a year or two earlier. So there are advantages and disadvantages to a destination wedding, and I'll cover what I think those are in this podcast. So when I say destination wedding, what I really mean is somewhere like Mexico or the Caribbean. So some of these points may be relevant to weddings that take place further away in locales such as the Greek islands or maybe even India, but I haven't attended weddings there, although I have been invited to both locations for nuptial events. So I'm going to focus on what I know from my own personal experience of planning my destination wedding. So let's get started. So one of the things that is really important for your wedding, just like if you were to get married here, is of course choosing the venue. So it really comes down to picking the resort for this. So choosing the right resort can be super tricky. If you want my opinion, choose something that's less than 5 years old and has a ton of photos and reviews online. You may choose to go the direction of using a travel agent, but keep in mind that they get different commission rates for different properties, so your best interests may not be their number one choice. So honestly, like when it comes to resorts, the right resort isn't just important for the sake of room quality, activities, amenities, and food. It also matters a lot for your wedding photos, as that's where they're all going to be taken. So the resort that we got married at had stunning architecture throughout, giving us plenty of photo locations to choose from. If you want to check some of those photos out, head over to styledtosparkle.com and check out my destination wedding blog post, and you can see some of the photos from our wedding there. Now, when it comes to the resort, another thing to consider is where on the property you'd like to be married. Do you want to get married on the beach or maybe in a gazebo or in some other private area, maybe by the fountains or something like that? You'll have to check with the resort to see what's offered. Now, some destination couples that we had met had traveled to the area the year before and went on different resort tours scouting out the perfect location. So it's really up to you how you want to handle choosing the resort and how much time and effort you want to spend getting it perfect. I honestly don't think that there's a super bad choice out there, but like I said before, stick to some of the newer resorts and you shouldn't have an issue. Another thing that I get asked about our wedding is really the legal situation. Now, this is the not so fun part about weddings, the legality, the contracts, the licensing, etc. And not everyone who does a destination wedding gets actually legally married on their wedding day. For us, we didn't want a separate ceremony at City Hall before we left or after we got back to legalize the deal. We wanted to do this one time. So our resort was able to provide us with a justice of the peace as well as a translator for our ceremony. This made it legally binding. With that in mind, check the regulations of the country where you plan on getting married. So for us, getting married in Mexico, there were a few hoops that we had to jump through and a few considerations to be made. First of all, we couldn't get married in an actual church because neither of us were Catholic. And I guess all the churches there seem to be, or at least the ones affiliated with the resorts. And to have a legal wedding ceremony, we had to be in the country for 3 business days prior to the wedding taking place. This was to secure our marriage licenses and account for a few other line items that I'm going to go through here. So one of those line items was a blood test. Both my husband and I had to have blood work done in Mexico to prove that we didn't have AIDS or syphilis. It's just something that they make all couples do down there before issuing a marriage license. And don't be weirded out about getting blood work done in a foreign land. Most resorts have doctors on staff who perform these tests for you, or at least a shuttle to a nearby clinic where somebody will do it. And it's absolutely clean. There's really nothing to worry about. Now, maybe a legal ceremony doesn't matter that much to you. One friend of mine did a quick city hall ceremony the day before they left. Another friend of mine did a symbolic ceremony in Greece, but kept their relationship as common law in Canada because, in their minds, the government considered them to be married under this premise anyways. Another thing worth noting is that our marriage certificate was issued in Spanish, so for me to change my last name when we got back, I had to have the marriage certificate translated and then certified by that translator. It didn't cost very much money and it only took a few days. Another thing to consider is setting the date and how much lag time you're going to give with your wedding invitations. So, destination weddings are events that you're likely to get a save the date card for, probably more than other weddings. So a lot of times couples will give people a lot of notice or lead time so that they can save up, find childcare, or just make time in their schedules for such an event. Now, my husband and I got engaged in February, sent out invites in April, and got married that November. So we gave people very little time to decide and book their trips. And I have to say that we were not like most other destination wedding couples in this regard. There were couples at our resort that had guests anywhere from like 12 to 24 months of lead time that they knew about the event so they could plan. So if that's what you need to do in order to get the crowd that you want, then you do you. Now for us, we wanted to get married within the year and decided that whoever could come, and that was it. One of the other things about destination weddings is overall costs. Now, cost is where I find some of the largest advantages of a destination wedding from the perspective of the couple. So for us, we were able to get married and have a magical day with beautiful floral centerpieces, chairs with linen covers, colored sashes, dinner on china, an open bar, because we're at an all-inclusive resort, and so much more for literally the simple cost of a wedding package. So to get all the things we wanted to have our wedding in Canada, it would have cost us exponentially more. And good luck finding a venue here with less than 12 months notice. The only thing though is that costs for guests are higher. Some may argue, hey, you know, they're getting a vacation out of it, but this might not be their location, resort, or vacation type or timing that they would have chosen. So it's really important to be gracious here. You know, maybe people have already used up their vacation for the year, maybe they just can't afford it, or maybe they just don't want to spend that money on this type of vacation. So it's important not to be offended by those who cannot make it. Now, one of our guests had made several comments about how much cheaper a cruise would have been. Hot tip here, it would have been way more expensive for all of us if we'd have gone on a cruise. We also had a guest, the same one, shocking, I know, say that single versus double occupancy rates were unfair, but we told him he could bring a plus one, which he did not. So that's not really my issue. So that is something to consider though, is that double occupancy rates are often less expensive than single occupancy. So also consider too, that with a group trip, not everybody necessarily knows each other. And so for your single friends, especially those who aren't necessarily comfortable traveling alone, be nice and give them a plus one, like just at least to have somebody to hang out with at the resort. Now, wedding packages. So different resorts offer different tiers of wedding packages for different prices. Now, often these packages come with a la carte items that you can add on if you so choose. So for us, the top tier package wasn't that expensive and included more than we ever could have needed. For example, it came with a free massage at the hotel spa for my husband and a mani-pedi for me. And some packages include hairstyling and makeup application too. For me, I chose to do my own makeup and my hairstylist happened to be a good friend of the family who was attending the wedding anyways. So speaking of that, it's important to consider who's going to do your hair. And if it is someone at the hotel, maybe do a trial or two before the big day. Now, the beauty of these wedding packages, too, is that you can literally flip through a catalog and choose everything you want for your wedding, from flowers to cake, to place settings in half an hour. Like, it's literally just that simple. I'm not even sure it took that long. And, like, I honestly spent hours stressing over meeting with the wedding planner, like, but when we arrived, and because I wanted everything to be perfect. And this was some serious time wasted on my behalf because the ease of choosing all of our options all in one place was just, I don't know, it was just really not stressful at all. So don't be stressing out about meeting with wedding planners or feeling the need to really contact them ahead of time. They can get everything that you need in such a short amount of time. So as soon as you arrive, if you meet with them within the first few days, you should be absolutely covered. Another thing that we've been asked is, how do you include traditional elements in your wedding? So even though we're getting married in a tropical paradise, I still wanted traditional wedding elements like a first dance and a private reception. I didn't want to have my wedding reception in the middle of the buffet with a ton of strangers. So I say this because some couples opt to do the reception at the resort nightclub, which is not what we wanted to do. I wanted a first dance with my husband to the song of our choosing and a dance with my dad and that kind of thing. Now, resorts offer tons of options for this. For us, the cordoned off pool bar in the evening, they set up speakers for us, gave us a table for a DJ setup. Like, literally, we could have hired a DJ there, but we pre-mixed a playlist with all the songs we wanted to hear and just hit play. And it was perfect. Now, another thing you might be wondering is, how do I get that tear-jerking slideshow of photos from when we were kids if I get married in, you know, Mexico or the Caribbean? Now, you have to think, most hotels host conferences, and because of that, they can set up projectors and screens and all sorts of audiovisual equipment that you might need. There may be an extra cost with this, sometimes there isn't. It all comes down to the resort that you're at. Now, whenever I talk to newly engaged couples and they say, what would you do, you know, differently with your wedding, or what's the one thing that you absolutely say we have to do? So I always say, if I'm going to give you any advice, it's to spring for a good photographer. I mean, at the end of the day, all you're really left with are the photos and the memories, so it's important to make this element count. In our wedding package from the resort, we were provided a photographer and 15 free prints that I think were about 5x7s, and anything in addition to that was going to be really expensive, and that didn't include all of the photography that I wanted for the day. So we opted to bring our own photographer from home. She did the wedding for a flat fee plus her trip costs, and because she was there for the entire week, she was able to snap candid photos of us and our guests enjoying ourselves. And also, because we hired our own photographer, she was able to capture all of those modern wedding photo moments, like photos of my dress, my flowers, shoes, and other details, as well as photos of both sides of the bridal party getting ready. Now, some resorts have great photographers that they employ, but I highly recommend reading the fine print here to see what the costs are and for what you'll actually get at the end of the day. Now, there are tons of local photographers all around North America that are happy to do destination weddings, so definitely check into some of those as well. A big one for me is dress code. Now, I wanted a formal traditional wedding, not a beach party where people wore sarongs and flip-flops. Now, we were explicit in our invitation about the dress code for our wedding ceremony and reception so that the guests were not caught off guard and could pack accordingly. I wore a traditional wedding dress, my husband wore a suit, we had traditional bridesmaids' dresses and groomsmen attire, that kind of thing. It wasn't, you know, Bermuda shorts and golf shirts or that kind of thing. So as a guest, be courteous and stick to the assigned dress code. This isn't your day. It's someone else's, and they don't want you showing up to a formal event wearing beach attire. Also, there are so many dressy versions of flip-flops now that you don't have to go with the $5 foam ones from Old Navy. Now, this should also go without saying. Unless you're explicitly told to do so, don't wear white. It's just super gauche. One of the other things that we get asked about are gifts. Now, my statements on gifts are twofold here. So first, when it comes to receiving wedding gifts, don't expect large gifts from those who attended the big day. The trip itself was quite an expense, so please take that into consideration. The other things are register. There are a ton of advantages to registering. You get what you want, people know what you want and need, and in the case of ordering off the registry, guests can have a gift delivered to your door rather than schlepping it all the way to your wedding. Now, you're likely to receive more gifts in terms of gift cards and cash rather than tangible items because it's a lot easier to bring a card inside an envelope all the way to the tropics. So the second side of the gifts piece for me is for the attendants. Consider splurging a little more on your attendants' gifts or maybe covering some of the costs of their attire for the day. After all, your bridesmaids and groomsmen are spending all this money to be there on your special day, and they have all the added expenses of being in your wedding party. So one thing that I would say is one of the biggest advantages of a destination wedding is a built-in honeymoon. Now, the wedding week itself was incredibly fun for us, but in all honesty, it was a bit of a blur. We arrived on a Saturday, met with the wedding planner for all the logistics on Monday, got married on Wednesday, and then by Saturday, everyone flew home. So there were small amounts of time that were used for wedding logistics, meeting with the planner and all that. So consider those things when booking your trip as well. Now, having an entire week to spend with your guests means that you don't have the obligation of lengthy conversations with people who traveled far and wide to be there on your actual wedding day. It means you have a whole week to chill with them. I love that our family and friends were also able to get to know each other and have such a great time that week. It was nice that when you have your whole group there, you always have a teammate for pool volleyball or somebody going on a snorkeling excursion with. Now, what I'm really glad we did was stay an additional week. It didn't cost a whole lot more because the airfare didn't change, and then we were able to unwind and relax together in paradise before heading back to the real world. I know a lot of other couples that actually switch resorts for their second week, either to something more adventurous or more upscale for their honeymoon. Often this is because they don't want to impose the expense of a more expensive resort on their guests, but they still want something really high-end and deluxe for their honeymoon. Now, a friend of mine actually got married in Greece, and she and her husband spent their second week visiting other islands in the area, and their photos are absolutely fantastic. Now, something that a lot of destination wedding couples do is host an after party when they return from their trip for guests who either couldn't afford the trip or couldn't make it, but they still want to celebrate with you. Now, some couples host this large reception because they had a smaller, more intimate ceremony, but want to celebrate with the masses of friends and extended family that they didn't necessarily want to invite for the big day. So for us, getting married mid-November, we opted out of having an after party. By the time we returned from our honeymoon, it was December and Christmas parties were starting to roll in, and we figured that waiting until after the new year just seemed like too much, so we really didn't end up bothering. But keep in mind the feelings of your parents and in-laws when choosing to host an after party or not. It's important to manage expectations is just all I'll say here. Now, people's opinions. So it doesn't matter if you get married in your backyard, at a vineyard, on a beach, or at the Taj Mahal, somebody somewhere along the line will have something rude to say about it, passive aggressively or not. I don't know what it is about wedding guests feeling the need to express themselves about your wedding, but this just always happens. So the best advice here is you do you. You didn't force anyone on this trip. It was an invitation, not a mandatory sentence. So ignore the haters and enjoy your day. So the last thing that I really want to share with you here are my regrets and what I would do differently when it came to my destination wedding. So I would wear the same dress, I would choose the same resort and the same photographer and the same food. P.S. Like our cake was super delicious. Like I can't even. Now, would I wear the same dress if I got married today? No, but I'm also 10 years older. I mean, I got married when I was 24. And so if I'm going to get married when I'm 34, obviously styles change and, you know, tastes change and that kind of thing. But for when I got married, my dress was perfect. Now, I would invite fewer people. I was always one of those girls that thought I wanted a large, giant wedding, but in all reality, 35 guests ended up feeling like a lot for those intimate moments. I would have invited fewer people to our destination wedding than potentially had a large after party immediately upon return, or maybe early in the new year. I know we wanted to settle into married life, but we disappointed a lot of people by not having an after party. I know it's not about what everyone else wants, but I can't say that I would have hated having another party. I would have hired a mariachi band. We were in Mexico after all, and adding something traditional from the area would have been a nice touch. At the time, I thought it was silly, but looking back and having traveled to Mexico since our wedding and seeing mariachi bands, I think it just would have been like a really neat thing to have at our wedding. You know, and I also probably would have cared a lot less about the details and things like stationery, because at the end of the day, none of that really matters. But I guess try telling that to a 24-year-old bride. I guess I've grown up a little bit since my wedding. Now, I felt like there weren't fewer things to consider with a destination wedding, as there was still a ton of planning and logistics to be considered. They're just a different set of plans and logistics than having an event in your hometown. I liked not having to coordinate caterers or florists because the resort had a wedding planner to do all of that for us. And that was all included in the cost of our wedding. I know that wedding planners aren't cheap, but having one handle all that for us took a lot of stress off of our plates. So I hope that this was helpful for you when it comes to planning or attending a destination wedding. If you have any questions, feel free to send me an email at info@styledtosparkle.com. I'd be happy to answer any of them. And again, if you want to see some photos from our wedding and, you know, see some more information about planning a destination wedding, head over to styledtosparkle.com. Thanks for listening and happy traveling. Thank you for listening to the Real Girl Podcast. Find us on styledtosparkle.com and iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe today to have the latest episodes delivered to your favorite listening device.